Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
Time to talk to our guy. Once again, Glenn Davis joining us as the biggest game. Maybe this is a possibility, the biggest game in U.S. history tonight. See if they can move on into the round of 16, and then maybe again, depending on what happens with Belgium. So this is it. Glenn Davis, we've finally here. First of all, though, are you disgusted as we are that the World Cup is over now that France has won it all?
Yeah, well, they're definitely the clear favorites. There's no question about that, right?
I mean, goodness gracious, are they
good. Yeah, it's pretty scary, and there's so many guys that can score goals, and the amount of individuals that can just create their own chances it's scary.
Yeah. So we got that, but you know what? We're still going to play the games, I think. I don't think they're going to – we're just going to just say, okay.
So you want to cancel it and just hand the trophy to France right now. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looks like why are we even playing the rest of the games? But okay. So tonight, how excited and what do you think? You break this one down for us against Bosnia.
Yeah. Look, first of all, Bosnia is going to be very similar to Paraguay and Australia in that they're going to defend deep again. I mean, I know I've been talking about this low block and defending deep a lot, but a lot of teams are doing it and playing in transition. That's what they do. You know, you have to come out with the same attitude you had in game one and game two, and that is to be very, very aggressive against these deeper defending teams. It's about keeping the tempo high. It's about getting the ball off your feet quickly and circulating it quickly. And then the best, you know, tactic killer is obviously the individual player. France has told us that, showed us that, and that's why we need Christian Pulisic in the lineup and Dest doing their things. But the biggest danger to a game like this is just the counterattack and the transition, and there's a lot of mental sharpness and starting points that defenders and others on the field like Tyler Adams have to have when you're going to probably have 60 to 65% of the possession. But against these deeper defending teams, you got to get the game's first goal or you could be in for a really, really long day.
Glenn, can you walk us through, for those of us who are interested in learning a little bit more about the sport, like the alignment? You know, we made a big deal about Kamen was, you know, went with a five-man back and the alignment, and Zlatan was upset about it. And it was something that they don't usually play. Can you talk about alignments, how the U.S. plays, and where some of the differences, like what you typically see maybe as you move on with changes in alignment and what they mean for a team's aggression or defensive posture?
Well, aggression is just based on how you want to play the game. I mean, I don't want to get too heavy into 4-3-3 and 3-4-2-1 for people. I would just say this. You'll look at a game, and you can see some teams that sit back on top of their goal to invite the opponent in, and that means then there's space behind the opponent. And then you try to utilize that very quickly when you win the ball. It's like dropping off in the zone, maybe in basketball, kind of. I don't know if that's a good comparison. I think the real thing to look at is the aggression of teams. You'll see the U.S. is going to be very aggressive to get high up the field against the lower block team. They're going to invite the U.S. in. And the whole idea here is, to create chances against a lot of guys that are in a really condensed area. It's not easy. And a lot of times the goals come like it did for Brazil, the game winner. Came off, It came off a second ball that was cleared. They get there, they repress, they win the ball, and it's a quick pass to a guy who's in between two defenders, Gabriel Martinelli, and he scores. So a lot of goals are being scored off represses, not necessarily off these represses and transitional moments, you know, one, two passes and the guy's in. Not as much so, you know, stroking the ball around 14, 15 times leading to a chance. You're not seeing that as much. It's just kind of where the modern game is.
How does Bosnia counter offensive? I mean, so they're just looking for you to go in deep, and then they're going to go over the top on you?
They're gonna hope you get committed. You lose a little focus. They win the ball quickly. They're going to try to break out through Bajrakarevic, who's actually an American kid. Dimirovic, those are their two guys that they're going to try to find when they win the ball. And then if they earn free kicks around the U.S.'s penalty area on occasion, then they have Edin Dzeko, who everybody knows, you know, is the all-time leading goal scorer for Bosnia. And the U.S. can't give away silly free kicks around the penalty area because he may be older now, but all he needs is one good delivered ball, and he can still get up in the air. He's a big man, and he could cause you problems.
We'll see if Tucevic, how able to stop him. Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief, right here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I mean, America is – Glenn, this is going to be – I mean, you want to talk about you always, you know, the promotion of soccer in this country, in Houston specifically, how important it is for you, and you love this, and – there's no bigger promotion, I think, than we've ever seen. The prime time in an elimination game here, and this country is really excited about this team.
It's great to see the United States excited about it, and I think, you know, we've mentioned it so many times on this show that the opportunity is there to invite unique new people into the sport, and I think that's happening. I hear that a lot from people, right? It's great. I think the other great story is just the unity and the great time that everybody's having with the World Cup in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. You know, me being at the stadium, I've been able to witness this stuff in person, but just supporters groups getting together and people meeting each other, and, you know, all propelled by this sport that's played by more people on the planet than any other sport. And this is the biggest sporting event in history that'll ever have come to Houston. So it's just great all around. And then, you know, it's expanded. You're getting all these great storylines, but now we're into the meat, you know, the real part of the tournament that really allows for no mistakes. Everything gets magnified. And for the United States, look, it's the bottom line is you don't get past Bosnia tonight, this will be considered a failure for the U.S. national team. Mm-hmm. And for Pochettino, despite all the good things that have happened in the first two games, it will be considered a failure. And then you're going to have the knives come out, and it'll be the I told you so's. But I don't think that's happening. I think the U.S. is ready. I think they're chopping at the bit to get this game done. And then it's onward. If they get past Bosnia, they got Senegal or Belgium, and they know those teams very well.
Yeah, not to look ahead, but Belgium's not the same Belgium. And Senegal, I mean, I don't know. This is just such a, as you say, Glenn, this is just such a huge opportunity. We're excited. Being able to create opportunities is going to be a really big deal, so you have to have creativity. Is that something that who are the most creative players when it comes to, I mean, Pulisic is a creative player, but who are the most creative players? Who are the players that we need to look for who might be able to create those opportunities for Magic?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously Christian Pulisic is kind of he's our Vinny Jr., right? If I would compare him to Brazil, he's our Vinny Jr. Serginho Dest is a dribbler on the right side, who's been moved into that higher position by Mauricio Pochettino. Weston McKennie will get in and around the penalty box. He's one to keep an eye on tonight, along with Tillman. So, you know, that's where our creativity is. And then there's Fowler and Balogun. Now, that's a tough game for a striker, because when a team sits in a low block, it's all about trying to find a little bit of space, right? And that's not easy. You know, I go back to the Brazil goal again. It was on a repress and a very ball whipped into the feet of Martinelli, who got himself in between two defenders in a great spot, which allowed him to get turned without getting closed down and having his shot blocked. So, you know, a lot of this could come down to just fighting for second balls around the penalty area. It may not look artistic. And that's the type of game Bosnia wants to present. They want to be difficult to beat. It will not be an easy game, in my opinion, and I don't think any game at this point will be.
Nope. But, I mean, you want to talk about a road to getting to the quarterfinals. Nothing against these teams, but Bosnia and Belgium or Senegal, I mean, it's a much easier road than having to go through Spain or France or, you know, some of the other. This is the opportunity for the U.S. to have, you know, to get to somewhere they've never been before.
100%, and like I've been chirping on this on our morning get-togethers, core group of players in Europe playing at very reputable big clubs, core group of players that have been to a World Cup before. This opportunity is as good an opportunity as you'll ever get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you got to take advantage tonight. And this team is, I mean, that Paraguay game, after kicking their, you know, and oh, they're not that, maybe they are. Maybe this team is really, really good. And we're just, and nobody's giving them the credit, but they have to prove it now. They have to prove it now over these next couple of games. That Norway game yesterday, I mean, Haaland has been, you know, he's their scorer, and you know he's a he looks like a Viking. He's, you know, everything. But that was he barely had got a piece of that ball. That was all set up for him. And what a way for them to come back and be able to bounce back and win that game after giving up the goal that they gave up.
Yeah, it was a good great response. I think it was pretty funny because Haaland was at the halfway line after they scored, you know, to restart the game, and he was kind of – they went in tight on him with the camera, and he was kind of laughing, and I'm pretty sure he was laughing about the fact that he didn't make a lot of great contact on that.
No.
But at the end of the day, nobody cares. Yeah. A goal's a goal, and a goal like that is one that's won a game for you to advance you in a World Cup, becomes a special goal. I he's got five now.
Yeah.
And I think it's Mbappe and Lionel Messi who have six.
Yeah, it's the stars are starring. There's no question about that. Glenn, can you talk about Mexico? Mexico, we talked yesterday.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing Mexico up.
Yeah, we talked yesterday about Mexico's offense hadn't looked good, but, boy, they really brought the funk in the first half. They were really attacking effectively.
So here's what I'm going to say. There was a lot of questions around Mexico coming into this tournament. A lot of their fans – myself included, I had talked to an ex-Mexican national team. There was not a lot of optimism around this team, okay? But they were defending well from the start. They have players that we know are capable. And now, honestly, after what I saw last night, they have morphed with a fan base behind them into a team that looks like they can make a deep run in this tournament. And they're going to be at home. They're going to have massive crowds. They got a transitional game with Julian Quiñones, who's become their star. He's got three. Raul Jimenez got one off an error. And that was a tricky game for Mexico. You got to give Mexico a lot of credit because Ecuador is not an easy team to play. And they got goals at good times in the game, 22nd minute and the 35th. And that really, I think advancing brought a sense of relief to the Mexican supporters in the country, and I think this game now has turned them into believers.
Yeah. Well, they look good. And that, you're right, that country is behind them. Holy cow.
Oh, my God. And look in Houston. You know, we're talking about the fan fest and all these things. Yeah, who do you think are the primary people down there? I mean, in volume and in numbers. It's Mexicans, Mexican Americans. They love the game. I mean, the Mexican soccer culture to me is as good as any soccer culture in the world, and I've lived it, having lived in Houston since the 80s. I realized it even back then, right? And it's just amazing where it is now, and such contributors to the sport in our town. That's why you know, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment's pretty happy because they bring the Mexican national team. Like, Houston has become its second home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hear that, Del? Put some respect on them, okay?
No, we don't have to like them. We're the U.S.
What, Del doesn't respect Mexico?
No,
he doesn't like
them.
He's U.S. men's national team.
No, this is not about a respect. I've seen them win gold cups and ruin my afternoons and nights throughout my career.
Yeah, it's a rival. You're not supposed to like the rivals.
They're team that I don't like because they're the rival of the team I do like. It's that simple. It's nothing
more
than
that. I'm with Del, too. I want the United States to do well.
That's right. John's the only one who's for Mexico.
Put some respect on him.
John's the one for Mexico. USA! USA! We're not for the Mexican national team, John.
Look, you U.S. fans need to stop being, you know, closet soccer fans. You got a great team. Be proud of them.
That's right.
They're fighting for you. They're working for you in the World Cup. I mean, I'm a little tired of... You know, don't be afraid to say you like the United States national team. What's wrong?
What are you afraid of, John?
I'm not afraid of anything. I just put some respect on them.
I can respect them and not like them. I don't like Ohio State, but I respect them.
No, you disrespect them. You disrespect them.
Wait
a second. I thought
Del
was a Super Eagles Nigeria fan.
Well, yes, I have. I'm a dual national, but they don't make World Cups anymore, so I have to root for the U.S.
Yeah, and Italy... We know what's going on there.
They don't play soccer anymore.
We know what's going on there. I've changed my allegiance to USA. I changed my – Italy just – they just – I don't know what the hell's going on. What the hell's
going on? Well, we're all dual nationals in some sense or form, right?
That's right.
Did you see who was it that said the German national team, the girlfriends and the wives are – oh, yeah, Matthaus?
Lothar Matthäus.
Matthäus says that he blames the wives and the girlfriends for Germany not winning. There was too much stuff going on. One mom got to ride on the team plane, and somebody else got
they
to bring their kid,
focus,
and other guys
said,
didn't.
Yeah.
And it was a big, it's a big mess with the wives. Don't bring wives and girlfriends to the World Cup anymore, he says.
Oh, what happened to my motherland? Oh, God. It's a dark day in Germany right now, and I'll tell you what the Germans will do, though. They will sit down all together, and they will be smart enough to do an overview on this World Cup, and they'll change things. They've done it before. The last time they did it, it was called Das Reboot. Well, they need another Das Reboot because there's some real struggles. I talked to somebody about it at length yesterday, and he's very concerned that, you know, we all hear always how Germany and their youth programs and everything are exceptional, but he thinks it's swayed too much towards all these physical quantifications of players and that it's lost a little bit of its essence. So we'll see. But, you know, it's been a rough time for Germany in the last couple of World Cups, and I think it also is an example of the fact that the game is getting closer and closer with a lot of different countries now because there's obviously the dual nationals, but players are playing in excellent leagues all over.
Yeah, yep. That's Glenn Davis. Tonight is the night, baby. Let's go. It is on the U.S. against Bosnia, 7 o'clock. First primetime elimination game ever for the U.S. Knockout game. First ever in primetime. So I know they said we could get 50 million. Do you think – what kind of numbers do you think?
Viewership?
Huh?
Oh, all combined viewership? Boy, that would be a monster.
Wouldn't that be huge? Yeah. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, I think America is, the whole country is going to be tuned into this thing tonight. I think we caught a little soccer fever watching all these other countries come over here and how they celebrate. And it's so much fun seeing.
You know, it's interesting, Glenn. Did you see Kirk Herb? John, did you see what Kirk Herbstreit said?
No.
Yeah, I did. I think all of that is great. When others acknowledge the sport, I think that's great. I did see it.
He basically said, man, admittedly, I don't know a lot about soccer, but I'm watching every match right now. This is incredible. And how do you find it? I'd like to keep watching, but how do you watch with all these different, I'd like to follow some of these players in all these different leagues. And, you know, I told him he could come to Everton if he wanted, but this.
No, he didn't want to come to Everton.
I was on a radio show this morning already down in Florida, and, you know, the two gentlemen who do the sports show, you know, they're not necessarily first and foremost soccer fans, admittedly, and they're just like, we're loving this, you know? And I think it's a common story going around.
Yeah.
And people are becoming stars. Balogun's becoming a star, isn't he? Now it seems like I saw three teams were after him now, trying for his services.
It's the ultimate shop window, right? It's the ultimate shop window, but it's also the ultimate shop window if you fail, right? Yeah. And you see what's happening. You know, coaches getting fired, countries winning like Paraguay. It's a national day off, Germany and the Netherlands have got to rethink it. The Dutch do an un-Dutch-like thing in the way they decide to play under Koeman against the Atlas Lions of Morocco, which, by the way, it's Morocco against Canada here in our next game in Houston.
July 4th. Man, it could have been the Netherlands coming back with those people running up from Rice to NRG. How fun. But it's Morocco and Canada. We'll see. It's still going to be. That still will be crazy.
Morocco's an excellent team.
Yep. That's Glenn Davis every morning right here, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief on ESPN 97.5. Glenn, as always, man, we appreciate it. We will talk about everything that goes on tonight, tomorrow morning, right here. So you
all right. And by the way, Dell, you and me, it's Go USA tonight. John, you go home and think about where the Italian
national team. That's right.
USA. No.
Have some bolognese tonight.
I had bolognese last night, as a matter of fact, if you want to know the truth. I am going tonight. Tonight it's hamburgers and hot dogs because it's a USA. USA. Let's talk a little Aqueduct Plumbing Company, Lance. Let's talk about what Billy does for everybody. I don't know that there is another plumbing company in the city, honestly. I just don't even know. I do know that the other guys are probably going to come and they're going to charge you 70, 75 bucks, 100 bucks just to show up, and then you get it taken off of your bill if you go with them. But then you're forced to go with them. I mean, you've already dropped a hundy? No. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will come absolutely free to your home, tell you what the problem is, and then give you, and then you can see, well, do I want them to fix it? And the answer is probably going to be yes every time, because you got to call the other guy and he's going to, what, you're going to charge me just to come and see what? No, Billy ain't doing that. Billy is coming to your home. He's going to give you a fair price to whatever job he has to do, and he's going to do a great job like he's done with us.
Yeah, I mean, look, big jobs, small jobs, it really doesn't matter. I just know that if you're looking for someone to get the job done right the first time and to make the right call on what's going on and then to have workers out there very quickly and fix it very quickly, it's always going to be Aqueduct Plumbing Company. 281-488-6238. Put this number in your phone, right? Here, open your notes app. You ready? 281-488-6238. Now you have a plumber. Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Always great talking some soccer with Glenn Davis, just the foremost authority. Foremost. He's already done radio shows this morning.
So we've known Glenn for long time, and I see Glenn up here when I'm working on draft stuff when he's up here doing soccer matters. Glenn has some issues with different things with U.S. soccer in the past, you know, in terms of he's had opinions, strong opinions, and he has a way that I feel like Glenn knows the way everything should go, and he gets frustrated. Because I'm kind of this way about some things. He gets frustrated when it doesn't go that way. When it's like you can see it, like when Bill O'Brien was the head coach of the Texans or the general manager. And I would get so mad and frustrated because I could just see all this stuff like these idiots. What is it? Does everyone see how terrible this is and what's going on? Glenn is kind of like that. But he also, if you hear him, he's like, you know what? Stop being a bandwagon fan, because here's what we're going to see: a bunch of people in the U.S. wearing France jerseys because they're the easy, cool team to follow, and they'll you know how many D riders we have in this country, a ton when it comes to sports. They'll wear the newest jersey of whoever's the best team and the easiest. They would hate to pick a team that it might have some, you know, you might take some losses. You hate to do that. So you just jump around with the best players or the best teams, and you just bounce for. So you're about to see a lot of France stuff. I will promise you. After this World Cup, if France wins, you're going to see a lot of France jerseys, a ton, because the D-Riders are going to be out hard. And Glenn's just like, you know what? Pick a team. If you like the U.S., say you like the U.S. now. Don't wait. You know, start supporting now. Don't wait until they get really good and jump on the bandwagon.
No, but I might get a Norway. I don't wear jerseys, so. But if I was, Norway is cool because of the rowing thing. I might get a Scotland because they outdrink everybody. You know what I'm saying?
You live
I don't think
it.
I'd jump
that.
On the band. I'm not going to jump
on. You
need
a Scotland jersey. You live it.
That's right. So, I mean, but I just want to, that's my color. That seems like a team I can relate to. And the Norway thing I think is cool with the rowing, the boat thing. I mean, that's France. France is France. I can't stay. No, we're not doing that. And then, just because it's like wearing a LeBron jersey. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, that's all. It's the exact same thing I thought of. Like, I'm going to be a LeBron fan.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a fan of one player, just watch him dance around. That's more of a new school thing. Old school is you pick your team, you roll with it, and if you get your ass kicked, then you wait for him to get back up. But you got a bunch of people who don't like to feel any adversity at all, so they're like, I'm just going to go to the best team. That way I can always try to win. But don't worry, LeBron's trying to do it again. And we have not talked about this at all. LeBron to Golden State is almost a lock, basically. My son works for Adrian Clem. He's the O-line coach at Alabama now. And Clem, he played some years in the NFL. And Clem is so excited LeBron's leaving because he's an old-school, longtime Laker fan. And a lot of those fans, I've talked to Bucky Brooks and Money Smith about this in L.A. And, John, I don't know if you've run into people.
I was talking to Wendy about this last night. It's, you know what, the everybody's like, okay.
There's a lot of Laker fans who never all –
No.
They just never accepted LeBron as one of their own.
No.
A lot of Laker fans who are
listen,
there.
Luka is a lot more popular here.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
And LeBron won a championship for them.
Yeah.
But
it was in the bubble, a co-ed
championship or whatever. But so LeBron looks like he's going to try to super team it up and go to Golden State. Now, this is old super team. I don't think it's going to work. Draymond, so LeBron is going to have to take a low-end deal. And I'll have respect for him from this standpoint. If he's willing to take, because he doesn't need any money, obviously. LeBron is going to be a billionaire. But if LeBron is willing to take a lower number to make this happen, okay. Kristaps Porzingis is there. Draymond, I think, is going to redo. He opted out, I think, to redo a deal with less money. Steph is there. They want to try to get Anthony and Davis. That's not going to happen. But this is going to be one of those older teams. How do you feel about LeBron ring chasing?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. You know what? He's been on the move. I saw Wendy was on, and I forget who the host was, but he was saying, look at LeBron, he goes to Cleveland, he goes ring chasing in Miami, and then he goes ring chasing in L.A., and he goes ring chasing, he won them. He won a championship everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's his legacy. This will not be his legacy. It's, you know, at the end of his career, there's a lot of guys that move at the end. Now, LeBron's, it's odd for a superstar to move as much as he has. It really is.
Well, look at KD.
We got one in this city.
We got KD.
We had one in the city, too.
Yeah.
Harden.
Well, James started moving more after Houston, yeah.
Yeah.
But KD,
most superstars are usually related to one team.
KD's title still gets scoffed at because he went and tried to join and make super friends with Golden State. The difference is LeBron is 41, will be 42 or whatever. That's an old team. That's not a team in their prime.
Well, most old school superstars, but Giannis on the move. So that's another guy who's
moved. Two, though. Only two teams.
Well, even two would be considered too many for a time. Barkley, how many places did he wind up?
Three.
So it's and that was back when it was very rare. Now it's just a thing.
Yeah. Well, Kareem moved early in his career.
Well, Barkley's were trades.
But he stayed with he's known as a Laker.
But he wanted out of Philly.
Well, Philly was, I think, I can't remember what the deal was with Philly, but yeah, he left Philly and then became the dude in Phoenix. He was the dude.
Yeah.
And then Houston traded
MVP.
For him. But LeBron is actively searching for new opportunities and teams. And I mean, you got Luka. Like,
I think
you're not winning the West anyway.
The thing is that I think the Lakers gave LeBron the opportunity to make it look like it was his decision. The Lakers weren't looking to be involved in LeBron business. It's not at the value, not at the price he set for them. Like, he will, it looks like, we'll see if he takes a minimum deal or MLE, depending on what team has what, or does he force the team to trade a guy to make the money work in a sign and trade with the Lakers? Who knows? But the Lakers weren't being given that discount. He goes, since I'm here, you're going to pay me a salary commensurate with my actual value. And they're like, nah, we don't want to do that. We want to move on. We got Luka. We're paying Austin Reeves. We're starting a new era of Lakers basketball.
That actually is a smart move.
And then they gave him the opportunity to set the narrative that he's leaving. But I think they left him first.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you kind of are beholden to – LeBron is always going to have a little bit of a death grip. And it turns into one of those things, if the team wants to go in one direction, but you're the star and you don't, then you're the bad guy. Or the team just says, we don't want to, you know, offend this all-time great. It's never a good thing. It is good for the Lakers to say, okay, Luka, Austin, let's see if we can win with a team full of white guys. I mean, good luck. That's a long shot.
Well,
and they just let Luke Kennard walk.
Well, then they're not so full of
white
guys anymore.
He just signed a two-year, $13 million deal. You just let one of the great rocket killers of all time, at least for two of the games.
Well, I'm sure that's how most teams build their rosters. Who hurts the Rockets the most? Seems like it doesn't appear that that's a concern for the Lakers.
They're going after Cooper Flagg now.
Well, they may have to wait a couple years. Nico's not there to make that move for them. Masai is.
League will facilitate it.
Well, do you think they'd have an interest
in several years now?
But would they have an interest in Reed Sheppard now that Kennard's gone?
What do you want from them?
They need another white guy.
They have their white star.
Well, they have two.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves isn't the star. He's just a scorer who's being paid a lot of money.
Hey, you need a third. You need a third wheel.
So you want them to get progressively worse with their white guys?
White walls. The white walls.
You want their hierarchy to just get progressively worse with white guys?
I just want to see them.
Luke up here, Reeves down here, and then Sheppard way down there.
As a social and sports experiment.
It's not disrespectful. It's the truth.
I'm looking at this as a social and sports experiment.
No. It's very much the truth.
Let's see what they can do. Let's see what it looks like.
I think they have Dalton Connect for their disappointing first rounder already.
What about
they don't need Reed Sheppard.
What about Connaughty?
Connaughton? Is he still in the league?
Who is it with Indiana? We got one in
that's
Boston.
That's McConnell. That's not Connaughton.
One in Indiana.
Indiana's McConnell.
Well, who's the one in Boston?
That's a Baylor Shireman or Pritchard.
No, Pritchard. Yeah, I'm thinking of Pritchard.
Yeah.
They already have enough. They got Laravia. They got Connect. And then they have the actual good players like Reeves.
But Laravia's not really.
What do you mean not really?
Laravia.
He's very white.
Yeah, yeah. John hears the name.
What's
and he's
he talking about?
He thinks he's Arabian. He thinks
American.
He's...
We need American.
He is American.
Well, kind of.
No, actually, he is.
The Laravia.
No, Luca's the non-American.
No, he's really, he seems American. He's
How
fat.
So?
He's fat like America.
No, not anymore. He actually did keep it off this year. He did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
They don't need it anymore.
After having people shame him for like four straight years, he's like, all right, I'll try.
He's in L.A., and he's recently separated from his longtime partner. You got to get skinny.
You do actually eat a little better when you're in L.A. I will say it's easier to eat a little bit better, like smarter in L.A.
Yeah, Laravia's from Pasadena. That's so
there's
white.
Not a, there, by the way, John
California,
can tell you this,
not Texas.
There's not a lot of fat people in L.A. It's true. You look around like, man.
No, it is slimmer than other places.
It's me.
Yeah.
You just look around, and the
you
older...
You think it looks like Wisconsin here?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like older guys are dressed really nicely, like they're very stylish. L.A. is... There is some stereotypes that are true. Like, they are...
It's a beautiful
people. They care what they look like, yeah.
There are some beautiful people here. I can tell you that.
Yep.
Beautiful people.
Beautiful.
You know who's not beautiful? Warren Sharp. Okay.
You don't like the mustache?
No. I mean, I don't like the look. I don't like how he ranks the Texans offensive line. I can tell you that.
He don't know yet. He don't know. Warren don't know. WDK.
Warren don't know.
He's not the only one who's ranked them that low.
Yeah, but why?
Well, that's the problem.
What about the acquisitions?
I think that plays a part. I don't think he's very moved by the acquisitions. He knows who they signed. He doesn't care. He still thinks they're bad.
I don't think he realizes. I don't think he realizes the acquisitions. He might
think,
not know.
You think
who
Warren
they got.
Sharp is unaware who they signed?
Yeah, he probably.
He thinks it's the same line.
It feels
from last
that way
year.
To me.
I don't know, man.
He does a lot of football.
We did that. We've done this earlier in the offseason.
I feel like he has a computer.
And that the guy from ESPN pulled all these alleged O-line people, and they ranked them low, too.
Yeah, well, guess what? They don't know nothing about
football.
Well,
that's fine. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, we're not worried about it. I don't know why you're worried about it. I don't know why.
That didn't work out for you the last time.
But this time we mean it.
Okay.
This time we mean it. We're not worried about the offensive line,
so you shouldn't be worried about
it. It's not concerned, I believe.
He's got the Broncos number one, Eagles two, Bills, Bucks, Rams, Bears. He's got the Texans. He's got the Browns last and the Texans second to last. We got all the Browns cast-offs.
Well, maybe that's why he thinks you're not doing a great job acquiring talent.
Well, apparently we are.
And the Browns got a Texans cast-off, which makes them last.
That's right. That is true. He's got Browns last, Texans second to last, Titans, Dolphins, Bengals, Packers. Everybody's high on the Bengals this year again. That offensive line ain't much better than it has been in the past. I don't know why everybody's so high on, and they still got that, well, they still got to play defense, and don't they? I guess Joe Burrow is just, if Joe comes back, boy, and he for those eight games he plays, that watch out for the Bengals. A lot of people high on the Bengals this year. I'm not seeing it.
I've seen that too, and you know what I feel like is going on with the Bengals? Because I was trying to think, should I have the Bengals winning that division? Because I'm not really feeling the Ravens. The Steelers are going to take a step back. The Browns aren't good. That's what I think it is. I think people are looking at, like, okay, it's not the Steelers. It's not the Browns. Ravens have felt like they're maybe declining a little bit. Oh, Bengals by default. Well, here's a bounce back opportunity. Two great wide receivers, a good quarterback when he's healthy. Pretty good running game.
Can Joe stay healthy? If Joe's healthy, I like him.
But when is he
staying healthy?
He doesn't stay healthy. And here's the other thing: they don't get rush, and they lost a really good pass rusher, and they don't get rushed. The guys they've drafted don't rush well. So now they did add Dexter Lawrence in the middle, and Dexter can pressure the pocket from the interior. He's a run stopper, but is that good enough? They got pretty good corners. Their linebackers were bad last year. I'm with you, John. I'm seeing some like Bengals love, and I feel like it's only because it's AFC North. And I don't know that I'm feeling
that
the
might
Bengals
be it.
Defensively, but that it just felt it. Like it's just kind of two teams. Like the Steelers, I think, are headed for a 7 wins at most. I don't think I think Aaron Rodgers is only getting worse. The Browns are the Browns. There's nothing there. And I ended up with the Ravens winning the division because I couldn't get on board with the Bengals. The Bengals weren't good defensively last year, and they lost Trey Hendrickson. So I know they added Dexter Lawrence. I just don't know that they're going to be that much better defensively. We'll see.
All right, when we come back, strength of schedule. And this is a better way to judge it than what wins everybody had last year. You know, that because every team changes. We'll talk about that on the other side, where the Texans fall. But right now we're talking about a place where you can go and bet it, okay? Where do the Texans fall as far as wins this season? Well, go to the DraftKings Sportsbook and bet it. The DraftKings Sportsbook is the closest place for you to personally go see, get your bet on, no matter what it is. You want to watch the U.S. How fun would that be tonight? To be at the DraftKings Sportsbook. You know what? Call now. Go to goldennuggetlc.com. You can get there. Obviously, you got plenty of time to get there. It takes 2 hours to get there. What a great place to watch. They'll have the sound up. You want to talk about a great place to watch the game, bet on the U.S., bet on who's going to score goals. I mean, it doesn't get any better. Man, I wish I was there. what a great place to watch the game tonight. Any game. You got all the World Cup games that are going to be going on. You got all your baseball games. You got everything that you can go and bet on. What a great place. Drive out, drive there now. Go, 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 and watch the game tonight at DraftKings Sportsbook. You're looking for the best way to get your bet on. Casino, poker, DraftKings Sportsbook, golf course, bet your buddies out there. I mean, pool, restaurants, everything you could possibly want. All at GoldenNuggetLC.com. Get there tonight, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Normally, this time of year, you get strength of schedule, what the team's strength of schedule is, and it's based on what that the teams that you play, what they did last year, which is kind of dumb because you know, they changed their coach. They got a great draft pick. They picked up all kinds of free agents. It's a different team. This one, I think, is probably more accurate. This strength of schedule is based on Vegas win totals. So, who, you know, if you're playing, your strength of schedule is against, you know, Vegas, they factor in all the stuff that you've done in the offseason. And they come up with your win totals. And not that Vegas, it's always accurate. Now, some teams are well overperform or underperform, whatever Vegas thinks. But Vegas is a lot of times pretty accurate about what they think teams are going to do. The hardest schedule, who has the hardest schedule? It's so weird. Arizona. They're playing a last place schedule in the but they have to, here's the problem, is they've got San Francisco, the Rams and the Seahawks in their division. So they've got to play those three twice. That's six games against three of the best teams in the league. So they've got the toughest schedule. Miami has the second toughest schedule. And then the Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys. The Texans come in 19th. 19th toughest schedule. It's not like it's a big difference between them and Jacksonville. They're 15. Jacksonville, their average opponent win total is 8-6-8. The Texans 8-6-2. The easiest schedule. Now this is something that you might want to pay attention to. Is the Lions have the easiest schedule according to this? The Saints second easiest. The Bengals, the Browns, the Chiefs, and the Ravens are all down there with easiest schedules. So that might play into how many if you like to bet totals for teams. The Lions have the easiest schedule, according to Vegas. So they may be a team. And the Lions should have been better than they were last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess they should have, but I kind of feel like once you hit the top rung, they didn't sneak up on anybody. So it was time for them to have a regression. And now they lose their first-round pick, Terrion Arnold. He's gone. Yeah. You just lost a starting corner.
Yep, that's that is a big loss, losing a starting corner.
Yeah.
No question. But, yeah, the Chiefs should bounce back, right? The Bengals should bounce back. What do you think of the Saints? I don't know what to think of Tyler Shutt.
Say it again?
I don't know what to think of the Saints.
I think Tyler Shuck is about to hurt some feelings, to be honest with you. So I was talking to a Saints fan the other day, and I know the idea is he was better than expected last year and you're heading in the right direction, and maybe you are. I just watched too much of him on tape to think that he's going to. I saw the CJ effect in the second year when teams like kind of start putting a little more pressure on you, start taking some things away from you. I'm not sure he has the poise to be able to deal with it. I think the Saints, it's not a great division. It's up for grabs. The Carolina Panthers, I have no idea who to. Part of me thinks the Atlanta Falcons are going to be much better. I think with Tua there just steering the ship a little bit and not having Michael Penix just fling it all over the country, having a guy who just knows how to throw and complete basic passes, having Bijan Robinson, you just redid a deal with Kyle Pitts, you got Drake London. I feel like the Falcons could run away with that division.
I mean,
Tampa, you know, I don't know. Tampa still, they still have Baker. Baker's all right. He's all right. I mean, Baker's a 9-8
type
guy.
Well, he had an off year last year.
Yeah, he started. He was playing really well, and then it just completely collapsed on him. I mean, he was really bad at the end of the year.
Yep. Anyway, to me, that is a better way to judge strength of schedule, is what Vegas thinks, as opposed to just going by last year's record.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm the same way. I mean, although, because I had to give my predictions for all 32 teams for NFL.com, and I went through Vegas. I looked at their totals last year. I went through the Vegas number. I looked at strength of schedule this year. I looked at all of that. And it's funny because, I mean, these numbers that you end up around the same, you know, you end up around the Vegas number on most of them, but there were a couple, but that's not in real life how it happens. So I was thinking, well, who, and I ended up not having a bunch of, like, I don't know if I had any team winning 13 games. I had a bunch of 11 win teams. Like, I ended up maybe a little too much parity. So who are the teams who are losers? Well, you know, I have the Steelers taking more losses than they'd probably like. I just to the Titans, I don't know. The Titans over-under is like 5.5. I'm thinking, can the Titans get to 6? I think that's the Titans over-under. There's still going to be some really bad teams. The Dolphins don't look like they're really trying to win a ton of games this year, although they have paid – Malik Willis, so you know I don't really know how that's going to go, but they don't look very good. But there's going to be the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. They're going to be awful. They're going to take a ton of losses.
Well, they got the toughest schedule.
Yeah, I mean they're just because they play in a brutal division.
Yeah,
brutal division. And is Sam Darnold going to keep this going?
Yeah, I think so. Sam Darnold's a good quarterback.
This may be who he is now.
Yep.
He may be pretty good quarterback now. I mean, he had talent coming out. He got in a bad situation. He didn't play well. And just like Baker Mayfield, he just kind of was like washed away. Just, oh, well, and not until there was an injury to J.J. McCarthy. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a Super Bowl win.
Well, and now he's got to depend on a rookie running back.
Yeah, but that's, you know, they'll get Zach Charbonnet back at some point. The rookie running back thing doesn't really concern me as much.
Well, it does in the pass game.
It could. Yeah. He didn't play as much because Love played most of the time. But you can find third down backs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Darwey Ogunbowale, one of the great third down backs of our time. He's probably out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's out there for him. Go get him.
Damian Pierce, noted third down back. Is Damian Pierce in the league, do you think? I think he is still.
I don't know. No one knows. It's impossible to know that.
Damian Pierce era. Do you remember the Damian Pierce era?
Oh, my God. He was the future.
That 1 year was
the future.
He's with the Eagles.
He provided a bright spot during some dark times.
Yeah, in that 1 year.
That 1 year, yeah.
Yep.
That one season, it looked like we had found something. 220 carries, 939 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Poverty.
The bar was low.
It was real poverty around here trying to find joy in the Texans.
13 games. He rushed for 939 yards, 4.3
yards. He broke
yards
some tackles, returned some kicks. We were all excited.
Yeah, he was breaking tackles now.
No, he was he's a physical runner. He played with KC last year for one game. Ooh, he's
hanging on.
I guess he plays for the Eagles now.
Did they sign him in the offseason?
They must have signed him in the offseason. It shows Eagles as his team, but we'll see.
You don't think they put him in instead of Saquon?
I mean, they run somewhere.
Is he replacing? Was Gainwell still there last year?
Yeah. Okay. No, Gainwell was a
Steeler. No, Gainwell was in Pittsburgh.
He was a Steeler, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't. They signed. He was signed March 19th.
He's just fighting for Russ.
Yeah, he's looking to hang on. Yeah.
Yep.
He just wants one more contract.
Speaking of which, okay, so we just did Warren Sharp, and he had the Texans offensive line 31st. You know where he's got, who's got the best front seven in the league?
Texans.
Texans.
Does he really?
He's got the Texans.
I don't know that I would have given. I guess as a unit. You know who I'm putting in the front seven? I'm putting Petrie in the front seven.
Who?
I'm putting Jalen Petrie in the front seven.
Yeah.
Because of the way they play. I know you're not supposed to, but no one plays with three linebackers anymore. Jalen Petrie is a little linebacker. That's what he is.
He's got Texans, number one front seven, Eagles second, Rams third. He's secondary. You know where he's got the Texans?
Where? Number one.
Yep. Number one. Broncos are two. Seattle's three. You know where he's got head coach, the Texans?
Tenth. Oh, okay.
Tenth. Rams, Chiefs, 49ers, Seahawks, Broncos, Lions, Bears, Patriots, Vikings, Texans.
All right.
You know where he's got the Texans running backs?
I'm going to put him, he's going to be lower than I think, 16.
27th.
Nah, that's disrespectful.
You got no respect for that David Montgomery acquisition?
That's disrespectful to say that about David Montgomery.
So he doesn't like their offensive line, which they completely remodeled, and he doesn't like their big acquisition to run the football.
Mm-mm. And where he has the Texans wide receivers?
As a unit. Does that include tight ends, or is that separate? He's right, wide receivers, not just pass catchers.
Wide receivers and tight ends.
I would say it's not that great. Okay, 17.
Tied for 10th.
All right.
Loves himself some Nico Collins.
10th with the Broncos.
Nico and.
So the Broncos have Waddle. What's Big 14? What's his name?
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. They've got Troy
Franklin still there.
I think Mims from Oklahoma is still there, too, I believe. I don't know. The Waddle Sutton feels
better than what the Texans have.
Yeah.
Oh, now, stop
Dalton,
already.
What do you mean?
Dalton Schultz counts.
What do you mean, oh, stop already?
Oh, we got Nico and Higgins.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, and
Tank.
Huh.
All right. And little Jalen.
I don't know that Lil is what he's looking for.
Lil Jalen.
Is he a rapper? Lil Jalen.
And punt returner. He's a rapper and punt returner.
Oh, he hasn't proven to be a every down wide receiver. It's Franklin, Pat. Yeah, you know, I maybe tight end. The Broncos don't really have a frontline tight end. So we got
Dalton.
I guess Ingram or Troutman, however you want to divide that. So maybe 10 is right for both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all right. But he didn't have us. He has 10 at wide receiver. I feel like that's a pretty.
Pass catchers, yeah.
Tied
for 10. I feel
like that's a pretty respectful. That's a lot of respect.
He's been disrespectful with the running backs and the O-line. Paid respects everywhere else.
You know where he's got quarterbacks?
Maybe this will be disrespectful, too.
Ooh, let's see. Is Warren the type of guy that would be practical? Is he going to be one of those kind of a contrarian that CJ's actually really good?
No.
I think he is going to be
16th.
He's pretty much lets the numbers speak. Yeah, I'm going to say 16.
19.
Mm. Did you know I read something yesterday from CBS Sports. They put the quarterbacks in tiers, and they had CJ as a volatile veteran, which equates to like tier 5.
Hmm.
Well, that's where his reputation is.
Is that
right
it's a volatile veteran? Is that inaccurate?
Probably not.
I keep seeing X factor, which is a bad thing.
You don't want your quarterback to be an X factor.
X factor. No. No. That's the last thing you want your quarterback. You want to be solid.
No. X factor is the worst thing you could have a quarterback.
Right. And he's the Texans X factor.
I don't want to go either way.
You never know. Every time he takes
tied to him.
Every time he takes a snap, you never know. So, CJ, a coin boy?
Oh, he is.
Is he a flip of
a
coin?
The coin has spoken.
I don't want that for my quarterback.
Kept flipping the wrong tails. Kept making the wrong call in the playoffs. Tails. Heads. Tails.
The coin has spoken.
Heads it is.
The coin has spoken. No, we don't want that. We don't want our quarterback to be coin boy. All right, breaking 713-780-3776. What do you think? Get in, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.